created to enforce them. Crises precipitate change.
Secretly plotting your demise. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to make a super virus strong enough to cause blackouts in every single metropolis. Because they don't want to unify us. So get total anarchy and can't nobody stop us. You see, late in the evening, step on my computer and my mind starts roaming. I create like a heathen. The first cycles of this virus I could send through a modem. Infiltration hits the station. No Microsoft or enhanced DOS will impede. Society thinks they're safe when bingo hard drive crashes from the rending. A lot of hackers tried viruses before. Vaporize your text like so much White House. I want it where file replication is a chore. Lights out, shut down entire White House. I don't want just a bug that could be corrected. I'm erecting immaculate design. Break the nation down section by section. Even to the
It's Wednesday, November 29th. And for those of you lucky enough to be listening, this is False Flag News. I am your host, D.L. Abramson, coming to you with a ton of economic news tonight, folks. We are looking at a total breakdown of the dollar. And not to call myself Nostradamus, but I was predicting this not just months ago, but really well into a year ago, seeing this coming. And when I gave my speech in Washington, D.C. on November 11th, I warned people. We were in the midst of a dollar collapse at that conference, and it would continue, and it would freefall, and it would snowball, and the plunge protection team simply does not have the assets and the control to stop the economic collapse we are facing. And that will be most of what we talk about on tonight's show. I will also be taking your calls, as always, 800-313-9443. I'll be giving that number out again later in the show. Apologize for that small slip up. Let's get right back into business. And for the archive listeners, hey, this stuff happens, baby. Look, the Iraq Study Group has just come back, and they're going to announce their recommendations on December 6th. I think we need to begin preparing ourselves for the possibility that the Pentagon is going to completely ignore their recommendations. Furthermore, there were two excellent editorials concerning what's happening with the Iraq Study Group. One of these comes from, of all sources, Michael Hirsch of Newsweek magazine, who just put out a bust in Bakersville. Iraq can no longer be won or lost. Why the study group won't solve anything. Stated November 29th, he writes, the forthcoming report by James Baker's Iraq study group has enjoyed the biggest public buildup since the Segway. Folks, that's that dumb little machine you use to putt-putt around. It's like a super scooter. It says, and it's likely to be just as big of a bust. Here's why the Baker-Hamilton report is destined to land with a thud after weeks of messianic hype. According to sources who have seen the draft report introduced this week, the group will recommend deeper engagement with Iran and Syria in hopes that those countries can help quell the violence in Iraq. But George W. Bush, who remains a true neocon believer, quote, it's the regime, stupid, end quote, is very unlikely to cut deals with such evil states, except in the most foot-dragging way. In any case, with each passing week, Iraq's sectarian fratricide becomes these neighboring countries less and less relevant. Folks, I think this is an absolutely correct assessment. We know from Seymour Hersh that the CIA produced a report for the president and vice president's office suggesting that Iran does not have a nuclear weapons program. Cheney came back and said, I'm going to set up an ad hoc intelligence group to continue pushing the case for war. There is a war going on in the Pentagon right now over the future of Iraq, the future of potential war with Iran, the future of Syria. I'm going to cover this, the economic breakdown, Russia, China, and so much more. I hope you can stay with us. It's False Flag News tonight, special Wednesday show.
Didn't have NORAD stand down and do explosive planes and buildings that morning. didn't do CIA insider trading, didn't call Merrily Brown, tell him not to fly, and Ashcroft and everybody else.
Yo, yo. What really happened on September 11th when 3,000 citizens were sent into heaven? Why the era fake Bin Laden video confession? Why the fairy tale version got so many questions? Were radical hijackers that were only using boxes could have sliced up olives like a knife cutting hot butter? They had us frantic like a nasty. This song that I've written there is an important reminder that we are still living under the September 11th regime. We are still living under the regime of the plotters who not just murdered 3,000 people, but who carry out acts of false flag terrorism in order to push an agenda forward. That means the destruction of this Constitution, the construction of a Pan-American Union. That means one united currency, the destruction of this nation, not just on our borders, but everything we stand for as they put up an electronic biometric grid around us. It also means an agenda of mass genocide and austerity abroad. And let us not forget that there are frontmen out there, Stephen Hadley, Condi Rice, Dick Cheney. These people do hold a certain amount of power. They are powerful middle managers. But in the September 11th coup faction, there are people above them and people above them, and the pyramid goes higher. And entrenched within the Pentagon, sometimes below Rumsfeld and sometimes above him, in groups like STRATCOM, NORTHCOM, CENTCOM, FEMA, in the bowels of the DOD with people like Eric Edelman, there are still groups that are pushing openly for an invasion of Iran. And that certainly extends into the intelligence conduit in Israel. Seymour Hersh covered in his article how Dick Cheney is now taking raw, unvetted intelligence from the Israelis and pumping that into his office. So those of you who think that Baker Hamilton somehow represents a change in policy, that somehow Baker, the Bush crime syndicate consigliere, is going to be the silver magic bullet that will change this civil war in Iraq, we need to stop dreaming. It is a distraction. It is a lie. And it is so much window dressing as they begin to increase the troop size. 70%+ of Americans in major polls, and I would imagine the numbers are even higher than that in reality, have turned against this war. All but those who are just so plugged into this matrix that they're blind to everything can see what a disaster this has been. They might not be able to conceive what 650,000 dead Iraqi civilians means since this invasion began, or the million plus that died during the sanctions regime of Bill Clinton. They may not understand the thousands of American troop deaths and what that means to their families and to their children and to their parents, or what depleted uranium is doing to both the troops and the poor Iraqis are going to have to breathe this stuff in for the rest of their lives and have leukemia and birth defects, what it means to have no electricity, no running water, no garbage takeaway, garbage running in the streets, militias taking over, civil war sparked by British SAS, CIA, and Mossad troops. I don't think we can conceive of the genocide that's going on. Most of us can't even wrap our minds around the horror. And then they dangle in front of us the Baker-Hamilton Commission. Oh, James Baker, the great oil lawyer, the great man who in 2000 was the chief Bush lawyer pushing for this crime syndicate to get into office. And then less than a year later, we have September 11th. You have the oil baron Dick Cheney. You have the man Don Rumsfeld, who worked for Cyril Pharmaceuticals, putting aspartame into the food supply. All the great private industry criminals, and Baker was representing them. I have a really good article here from Jules Whitcover that just came out yesterday, talking about the expected failure of Baker Hamilton and how they're already lowering the expectations. He writes the following: though Baker has a strong track record as the old Bush family political fixer extraordinaire, he has signaled already not to expect a silver bullet coming out of his commission, authorized on a bipartisan basis by Congress 8 months ago. Folks, anytime you hear the word bipartisan, run like hell. Anytime these two parties agree on anything, you're going to lose your freedom. Period. Let me go on. The chances are the group will encourage Bush to lean more heavily on Maliki to crack down on both Sunni and Shiite militias running rampant in the besieged country. A little bit of the spotlight is directed on the study group Beyond Baker and Hamilton. He writes, there are few members with much experience in pulling either military or diplomatic rabbits out of their hats. The other Republican members include Attorney General Edwin Meese, a longtime Ronald Reagan coat carrier who failed to distinguish himself as a White House counselor before being shunted to justice. He continues, retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor is a pointless window dressing for the commission. Former Senator Alan Simpson is known chiefly for his comic relief. The best of the lot in this situation is probably Lawrence Eagleburger, a short-term Secretary of State under former President George H.W. Bush. On the Democratic side, Washington super lawyer Vernon Jordan is prominent as an inside-the-beltway operator for former President Bill Clinton. Surely some of you will remember Vernon Jordan's role in the Monica Lewinsky scandal and handling her. Other members include former Secretary of Defense William Perry, former Clinton White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta, and former Virginia Senator Charles Robb, none of them Middle East experts. While awaiting the wisdom of this mixed bag of crisis solvers, the president continues to talk of victory, lately downgraded as the absence of defeat. His grandiose vision of a democratic Middle East, proclaimed in his second inaugural address, is now a mocking overreach. Whitcover recommends an immediate pullout. Look, folks, if they were serious about ending the sectarian violence, you do the following. You tear up the Halliburton contracts, the privatized oil contracts. There is a criminal in the Iraqi oil ministry, Ahmed Shalabi. This man was the head of the Iraqi National Congress, which was a CIA front group set up as a conduit for the phony intelligence in the Office of Special Plans. He became the spokesman for the OSP, the Israeli and neocon crime syndicate, which pushed the phony justification for war. This man is wanted on bank fraud in several countries. And he is operating as the head of the Iraqi oil ministry right now. You kick Shalabi out. You tear up the oil contracts. You abandon the 14 permanent military bases that are being constructed. You destroy the prisons and the Gulag archipelago that is being set up, not just in Iraq, but in Syria, in Lebanon, in Gaza, in the West Bank, those run by the Israelis and by the Americans and by NATO and by all foreign intelligence groups need to be destroyed. Furthermore, there needs to begin an investment in the infrastructure that was destroyed during this genocide. That means reconstructing the water, the power, the garbage pickup, the schools, the hospitals. I mean, I am sick to my stomach watching Fox News as they run around saying, well, nobody's focusing on the success. I mean, I don't even think they can get away with that right now because the situation has deteriorated. Men burning other men in front of their children with kerosene. And we're supposed to believe this group with not one Middle East expert, most of them the consummate insiders, and most of them tied to the Bush crime family. And what that means is drugs and weapons. That means Iran-Contra. That means savings and loan scandal. These are not nice people. These are not people that want to help you. These are not people that care about the American troops, the American people, your freedom, and certainly not the poor souls who are being murdered every day in Iraq. The pullout needs to begin now. But I'm realistic enough to know that the Pentagon will not go quietly into that good night. Listen to this. This is from MSNBC. It says, the extra combat engineer battalions planned by the Pentagon would total about 3,500 troops and come from the United States. So at a time when they're dangling in front of us, oh, there's going to be a phased troop withdrawal. We need to ask two questions. One, is it realistic? What kind of withdrawal are we talking about? What kind of timetable? Well, first of all, it's not realistic. The Pentagon is saying they're immediately going to send four more battalions, 3,500 troops. More cannon fodder for this destructive war that cannot be won, that has no mission. Saddam Hussein, captured. WMD link, never existed. 9/11 link, never existed. We are there to protect the oil fields, to feed the coffers of Halliburton and Raytheon and Lockheed and the cynical war profiteers. We are there to watch mercenary groups like DynCorp and Custer Battles and Blackwater running around this country murdering women and children so they can feast off your tax dollars, absolute parasites of society, mass murderers. And now we have it that 3,500 more troops are going, and we have McCain shilling for the neocons. You want to talk about a real political would do, a man who would do anything, who would sell his soul. Look no further than John McCain. In 2000, Bush's campaign was running ads saying McCain fathered a black baby out of wedlock. His wife was a drug addict. He was a Manchurian candidate programmed by the Vietnamese, and on and on and on. And then McCain goes and hugs Bush before 2004. An absolute bootlicking neocon shill going out and saying now that they need 20,000 to 30,000 more troops. And we hear from the Pentagon that that is the counter plan right now. Baker Hamilton, these Washington insiders are going to say, well, we can fix the problem with some sort of Middle East peace conference. Do you really expect the Israeli neocons inside the Bush administration to directly negotiate with Iran and Syria? People need to look back into their history, into the Project for the New American Century. People need to look into the policy for a clean break designed for Netanyahu. Iran and Syria are next. They have not abandoned their plans. There are four carrier strike groups. They are running drills from the 4th to the 14th. NORTHCOM is. Vigilant Shield 07, they are simulating all-out nuclear war with Iran, China, Russia, and North Korea. This group is far more entrenched than many of you would believe. I'm going to cover more of the intelligence situation and get into the economy. 800-313-9443 is the number. We need to end this genocide now. Coming back in False Flag News. Yeah, you move it, Monsanto, with a power line. Zero pharmaceuticals and Rumsfeld, power time. That Don Rumsfeld, the architect of so much of this genocide, this murder, this torture, that goes to the underlings. A lot of you may not have heard of some of the real architects of these torture memos, people like John Yoo, David Addington, Timothy Flanagan. These are the corrupt lawyers who say that Cheney and Bush have the right of the unitary executive. And the president can do whatever he feels possible to repel any threat. And Dick Cheney says he has the 1% doctrine. If a nation poses 1% of a threat to the United States, we have the preemptive right to invade. Listen to this quote from John Yoo, now a professor at University of California, Berkeley. But he was the chief Bush legal advisor as so much of this torture legislation was being passed. And as the Bill of Rights was being eviscerated under Patriot Act 1-2, Domestic Security Enhancement Act, and the National Intelligence Reorganization Bill, which was really pushed by the Democrats. That means putting in a domestic CIA. That meant that the FBI and CIA can now share info on domestic enemy combatants. Probably yours truly. It says, quote, the Constitution creates a presidency that is uniquely structured to act forcefully and independently to repel serious threats to a nation. This clause allows Congress to establish the nation's legal status under international law. He's talking about the power of Congress is basically allowed to just, you know, watch what the president is doing, that the president can make and declare war, and it's the Congress's job to just sit back and watch. This is the ideology behind what is happening. Now, I've got an article here from Max Boot of the Council on Foreign Relations. And, folks, I hope most of you know the power of the CFR. Of course, the shill Noam Chomsky will go out and say, well, the CFR is a nothing organization. They don't have any power at all. Don't pay attention to what the Council on Foreign Relations does. But if you want to understand where the CIA gets a lot of their orders, where the Wall Street ruling elite, where the Bilderberg elite pass their orders down, look no further than the Council on Foreign Relations. And they have their academic mouthpieces run around the country saying what a good idea it is for war, for austerity policies, for so-called open border policies, for free trade agreements, destroying the middle class in this country, destroying the working class, eviscerating the manufacturing base, destroying the value of your dollar, and turning this country into a biometric police state. Here's what Max Boot writes. The title of the article is Iran and Syria Aren't Our Friends in Iraq. The subtitle is, our enemies have no interest in bailing us out unless they win major concessions. For example, he writes that the Syrians may want the Golan Heights. Well, my stars, they would want the Golan Heights back from Israel. Well, certainly the CFR wouldn't allow Israel to make any concessions. And he says that the Iranians may want something of an agreement not to be invaded. Well, shame on them. You know what? They should just help us anyway. They should help the war criminal regime who was behind September 11th, who was mass murdered at least 650,000 Iraqi civilians. They should just let them run through, negotiate, and then get invaded. Anyway, look, I'm ranting here. Let me read to you what Max Boot writes. Are these wishes that Washington could or should accommodate? Do we want to betray the democratic revolution in Lebanon? Of course, folks, that's a Mossad CIA phony revolution. Look into where these assassinations have been coming from, whom they benefit. You look to the American and Israeli intelligence agencies. Let me go further here. Do we want to give Iran's loony president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, carte blanche to build nuclear weapons, and all in return for dubious promises that may not make any difference in Iraq? Hard to believe, but those who advocate negotiation under such circumstances are known as, quote, realists. A real realist would realize that Syria and Iran are only likely to accommodate the U.S. when they're afraid of us. Iran played a constructive role in Afghanistan after the fall of the Taliban in 2000, and Syria scuttled out of Lebanon in 2005 under strong pressure. Now, however, we would be bargaining from a position of weakness, not strength. We are on the verge of defeat in Iraq. Our enemies have no interest in bailing us out unless the cost is prohibitive. I mean, this is just classic doublethink. This man who sits in the ivory towers in New York City, in the CFR building, who never served a day of combat in his life, who knows that he and his family and his children will not have to sacrifice anything for this war, who carries out the orders given to him by people like David Rockefeller, can write these articles. You wonder how these people sleep at night, whether they have any concept of the damage they're doing. This is the ideological base behind this genocide. He is saying the war has been lost, but we should never negotiate with Iran and Syria. Not only does this mean that he is pushing for a continuation of the occupation of Iraq, it means he is also pushing for an invasion of Iran and Syria. It's sort of like Hitler's generals who realized they were defeated, so they decided to wage war on Russia. They cannot see how their policies are absolutely going to destroy this country. But then again, they see that the economy is already collapsing. And furthermore, their agenda to destroy this American Constitution is being held up in the federal courts. I try to bring you some of the good news on this show. I talked about the victory of Correa in Ecuador, and he is joining with Evo Morales and Hugo Chavez and Lula and the president of Argentina in fighting the IMF and the World Bank and the austerity policies that are bleeding these countries dry, that are privatizing their resources. Well, I have another article here. Those blow to Bush order. They're watching their police state in tatters, economy in tatters, and a desperate neocon, dangerous kind, back and talk about this ruling, and then get into the economic news as it relates to Russia, China, your paycheck, and the future of this American dream going down the toilet. We have to fight these people. Coming back after the break.
I bring tragedy to rap without my man Gaddafi. The government took Nazi scientists from Germany to design nuclear
rockets. Let us never forget that these criminals operate out of desperation, that the Israeli criminals operate out of desperation. Part of it is a genocidal drive. Part of it is a sickness that infests their soul, and certainly that is true for their upper-level masters, for the crime syndicate families and banker elite that run the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve and control these organizations like the Bilderberg Group. You know, look into Queen Beatrix. Look into the families that are behind this, and you see that their heart is black, that they feed off of this, that they get a certain sick pleasure out of it. But at the policy level, it is complete madness. They know they're losing, and they want to lose worse. They can't see what's in front of them. Baghdad is surrounded. The supply lines are very much in danger of being cut. And rather than rescue the American kids who are caught up there in 120-degree weather, in a turkey shoot while this country disintegrates into civil war, they say no negotiation with Iran and Syria. They hold out Baker Hamilton in front of us like this carrot in front of a stick, and we're supposed to just clap our hands like seals. Oh, the ruling class is going to come save us. Well, I suggest we wake up. I have an article here talking about how a federal judge has dealt another blow to this crime syndicate's plans to destroy this Constitution. And for those of you who haven't looked into H.R. 6166 yet, the Military Commissions Act, y'all need to wake up, get a clue, and start reading. This group of criminals are now trying to say that habeas corpus, right to trial by jury, right to a fair and speedy trial, right to access to a lawyer is gone. Additionally, in the bill, Bush and the neocons have exempted themselves from war crimes prosecution, which was actually passed under Newt Gingrich, one of the members of the Office of Special Plans. Pretty amazing. So they actually are exempting themselves from war crimes, saying that you have no right to an attorney or a jury trial or even a trial in the court system, the regular court system. Now it's a military court system. You can be deemed an enemy combatant, taken away on secret evidence, tortured, have that torture used as evidence, have no access to an attorney, and if you do, that attorney can be charged as an enemy combatant, and you can be murdered. Now, we know that they're constructing Halliburton camps around this country, $385 million worth, and if you don't believe me, get on Google after the show. Halliburton detention camps, type it in. They put in an official PR Newswire release about it. We know that during the 1980s, they designed plans like Rex 84, Operation Garden Plot, Operation Cable Splicer. These were plans for the detention of 400,000, quote, illegals. There was going to be this mysterious stream of illegals that was going to come through the Mexican border. They were going to detain them. But what it really was the detention of dissidents in this country. Not only being run by Oliver North, you know who two of the big planners of this were? Dick Cheney, who was then a congressman from Wyoming, and Don Rumsfeld. So when I talk about the shadow government, and there is a shadow government, folks, check the Washington Post. Shadow government, a group of 100-plus generals that are prepared to take over this country, suspend civilian government, declare martial law, destroy this Constitution once and for all, and begin imprisoning dissidents. We know that the legislation they're passing, H.R. 6166, Patriot Act 1 and 2, Domestic Security Enhancement Act, putting John Negroponte, the war criminal who ran death squads in Nicaragua and is now running programs as the Director of National Intelligence. You have the John Poindexter program, Total Information Awareness, and then they tell us Total Information Awareness is gone. We're not doing it anymore. What did they do? They expanded it and changed the name to a program called TANGRAM, T-A-N-G-R-A-M. People, we need to start learning these terms, looking this stuff up. They are spying on your credit cards, your phone calls, your emails. They want to know what television you watch, what kind of toilet paper you buy. They are building psychological profiles on people to understand what the, quote, potential threats are. Who are the enemy combatants? Who are the dissidents that are going to give you trouble? Who is the 9/11 truth movement? Who's opposing the Pan-American Union? Who owns guns? These are the questions that criminals ask. Same questions that Mao and Stalin and Hitler and Pol Pot and every other dictator asked. Article here is Judge Deals Blow to Key Parts of Bush Anti-Terrorist Order. A Los Angeles federal judge ruled that key portions of a presidential order blocking financial assistance to terrorist groups are unconstitutional, further complicating the Bush administration's attempts to defend its aggressive anti-terrorism tactics in federal courts. U.S. District Judge Audrey Collins, and God bless this woman's soul, I mean, honestly, this is an American hero right here, in a ruling released late Monday, found that two provisions of an executive order signed September 23, 2001 are impermissibly vague because they allow the president to unilaterally designate organizations as terrorist groups and broadly prohibit association with them. Folks, they could say that 9/11 Truth is a terrorist organization, and I'm sure within a lot of these groups in the DOD, we are, certainly within the FBI and CIA as well. The ruling marks a victory for the Humanitarian Law Project and other plaintiffs who seek to provide support for the lawful nonviolent activities of two groups designated as terrorist organizations by the U.S. government. That includes the Kurdish Workers Party, the PKK in Turkey, and the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Elam. Ironically, the PKK is now being used as a force to destabilize Turkey and Iran by the same DOD. I mean, go figure that. You know, you have the Mujahideen al-Khalq. The MEK, they're designated as a terrorist force by the State Department, but the CIA and the Israelis are using them to destabilize Iran. Anyway, one last bit here. It says, David Cole, a Georgetown University law professor helping to represent the plaintiffs, said the executive order and related federal statutes improperly allowed Bush to create, quote, blacklists and engage in guilt by association. Well, let's look at this article here. It was an executive order, and Bush has been passing executive orders all over the place. A lot of these remain secret. A lot of these shadow government executive orders passed under Reagan are secret. But we know the ones on the books allow the president to declare a national emergency, to seize the railways, the airwaves, the highways, and, quote, human capital. That means you and me. Tommy Frank said in a Cigar Aficionado magazine, there's going to be a WMD attack in this nation. This Constitution will be suspended. There will be martial law. Oh, and it's going to be very sad. What a tragedy for the American Republic. He's very sad about it. So we have to look at the vulnerability of these executive orders and this, quote, anti-terrorism legislation, which is nothing more than Nazified, unitary executive, Carl Schmitt type of mentality. It goes back to Leo Strauss. It goes back to Irving Kristol. Goes back to Nietzsche. Goes back to this philosophy of take power, of absolute power will dominate, that if I have the gun, I can take everything from you. Permanent revolution. These people are Trotskyites, and they believe that they can destroy everything in their path. But in the federal courts, there are some judges. And Judge Audrey Collins is an American hero. The Humanitarian Law Project and those lawyers are American heroes. And as a side note, folks, I would say people need to think about the possibility of getting September 11th into the court system, not with some BS RICO lawsuit. I'm talking about getting the real lawyers like Humanitarian Law Project and the National Lawyers Guild start asking some real questions. Why the hell did those FAA tapes get shredded? Why did Bush and Cheney not testify under oath? Why was there no NORAD stand down? Why were they running hijacking drills? I could go on. We don't want to just focus on 9/11, but it is the vector that they use to scare the population enough that they could begin really wrecking this American Republic. Folks, I need to talk about the economy. I got 9 minutes before the break, and this is just so important. We need to understand the basic thing. Let me give you the soundbite. The economy is in a recession at best. Guess that's not much of a soundbite. You want my real opinion? The economy is crashing right now. We are watching it crash, and it's gone from slow motion to faster motion. And soon it will be a free fall. Then the plunge protection team, the SEC, the Treasury Department, and the Federal Reserve criminals cannot prevent. Now, what would make this happen? What factors could lead to an economic breakdown? And when I say economic breakdown, don't just think that this means the oligarchs are going to lose their mansion in Vail, Colorado, and no longer go whooshing down the mountains on their skis and snowboards. I mean that your bank accounts, which are nothing more than numbers on a screen, we need to understand the fractional reserve system. When you put your money in the bank can lend out 10 times that amount. The bank doesn't have your money. They have just enough that people can go to their ATMs and take it out. But if everybody goes to the banks, that money isn't there. We have a speculative credit bubble in the derivatives market and the hedge fund market and the collateralized loan obligations. And you know where else? The housing market. We are watching a dollar collapse as Russia, China, United Arab Emirates, the European Central Banks, Sweden, Norway, and it goes on and on. But certainly China, with $1 trillion in currency reserves, are diversifying from the dollar into yen, into yuan, into gold, into rubles, into euros, but away from dollars. And what happened? The dollar hit a 20-year low. 20-year low. I still don't think people understand what is happening as this economy collapses. This is so detrimental to the future of this country. Let me read this article here. It was a 20-year low, but it closed at a 15-year low. U.S. setbacks see dollar plunge to a near 15-year low. This is from the London Telegraph. The dollar tumbled to a near 15-year low against the sterling on fresh signs of economic trouble in the United States. The 8.3% crash in U.S. industrial orders and an admission by the Federal Reserve Chairman that Washington does not know how bad the housing market really is set off another day of wild gyrations in the currency markets. U.S. housing prices fell 3.5% to an average of $221,000, the third month of declines. Stocks from unsold homes rose to 7.4% supply, the highest since 1993. The U.S. Consumer Confidence Index fell sharply to 102.9. The Truckers Index of tonnage shipped by U.S. haulers companies went down 1.8% in October, a leading indicator of contraction. Merrill Lynch called the fall borderline recessionary. And don't forget Stephen Roach, the head of Morgan Stanley, their chief economist, says 1 in 10 chance of avoiding economic Armageddon. Bill Gates has shorted the dollar. Warren Buffett, short the dollar. George Soros, short the dollar. All of them predicting a massive recession in 2007. So where's your money going to be? You want to leave it with Bank of America or Wachovia, Citibank? You want to trust them, Chase Manhattan? Are these going to be the individuals you trust to keep those numbers on a screen? The dollar continued its slide against the euro, dropping to 1.3194 after Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said the housing slump would, quote, be a drag on the economic growth into this year. Well, here I have an article from CNN Money. It says home prices post record drop in October. Median price sinks 3.5% from a year earlier. Trade groups see more price declines ahead. So third straight month of housing price declines. The bubble is bursting. Speculation is exploding. Not just in the housing market, but in the hedge fund market. Amaranth, a $6 billion hedge fund, collapsed and sank natural gas prices with it. And that is just one of the many that is being covered up right now. Derivatives market, $400 to $500 trillion in unmonitored, unregulated money flowing across the world on computer screens with 100 to 1 leverage on these things. When this bubble explodes, you have no idea how fast this house of cards is going to come down. This is the desperation from which the Wall Street clique, the neocons, the Stratcom faction, and the Israelis operate from. It's a system in collapse. It's an Anglo-American and an Israeli empire in collapse. And they prop it up with terrorism and these oil wars to secure the remaining oil and natural gas resources to starve Russia and China. And the eventual endgame is war with Russia and China. But I digress. Let me read to you the article. The price of existing homes sold in October fell for the third straight month and posted the biggest drop on record. The National Association of Realtors said the median price income was $221,000, down 3.5%. Let me go to this. Consumer confidence falls for second straight month in November. First back-to-back decline since Hurricane Katrina. Uncertainty about the strength of the economy caused a second straight monthly decline in U.S. consumer confidence in November. This is from CBS Market Watch. There's another big article here from Bloomberg. Orders for U.S. durable goods fell in U.S. 8.3% last month. Now, everybody says, well, if the dollar declines, well, we'll just export more things. Well, the problem is, folks, the manufacturing base has been destroyed by NAFTA, most favored nation trade status with China, because Ford and GM and the furniture makers, everybody making any product, televisions, computers, any knickknack you could think of, ceramic bowls, glasses, playing cards, dice, does not want to pay American workers $5 to $25 an hour. They don't want to have to go through American regulations and give them health insurance or have workman's comp. They'll go to China and pay them 10 cents on the dollar and force them to work 18 hours a day. And the Chinese government loves it. And people love it, so they can go to these stores and buy a $10 t-shirt made in Cambodia or Indonesia or China or Thailand. Well, this economy is strip mined, and our highways are sold out to foreign investors like the King of Spain. Orders for durable goods fell 8.3% last month. Orders for U.S.-made durable goods declined last month by the most since July 2000, suggesting a slowing economy is prompting companies to curb spending. Another article here from Reuters. The U.S. economy is running out of steam, but Europe's resurgence and Asia's awakening will prevent the world economy from derailing as it did during the market crash of 2000, an OECD report said on Tuesday. Rather than a major slowdown, what the world economy may be facing is a rebalancing of growth across the OECD regions. This is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Well, I think that is a sort of a public relations move by many of these controllers who desperately see what's happening. Hedge fund collapse, housing bubble collapse, dollar collapse, derivatives collapse. They don't know what to do. And in addition to that, we have the construction of the Chinese oil bourse, a Russian oil bourse, Venezuela trading their oil in euros. And that's a big move, folks. And, of course, the Iranian oil bourse, which is a major reason why the Federal Reserve criminals want us to invade Iran right now. And when I say us, I don't mean you and me. I mean the poor Air Force souls are going to be dragged in there in this nuclear invasion, and the poor Iranians will be mass murdered in the oncoming genocide. Article from the Financial Times here. Reduction in supply of new U.S. homes brings economy to tipping point. Another article here from the Globe and Mail. Struggling U.S. dollar triggers currency concerns. Let us not forget the IMF has warned of a disorderly adjustment, a rapid collapse in the housing market, which could cause a dollar collapse. It says renewed fears that the Chinese central bank may be poised to start liquidating its $1 trillion stash of U.S. dollars briefly drove the greenback to a 20-month low against the euro and a two-year low against the British pound in a trading session yesterday. The sudden weakness of the U.S. dollar began late last week, soon after Chinese officials suggested that holding a lot of dollars might soon be a losing investment strategy. So the Chinese hold $1 trillion. Now, you've got a few thousand in your bank account. You might want to follow their advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what the Chinese are doing. Investors read that as a signal that the massive trade and financial imbalances between Asia and the U.S. may be about to unwind. The chief worry is that if China's central bank, the largest holder of U.S. dollars, begins to unload its reserves, the dollar will plunge. The question is now, can the Wall Street faction survive this crash, or will they continue these wars to seize the natural gas and oil, to feed the military-industrial complex, to keep you distracted as they destroy this Constitution, destroy this economy, create a Pan-American global fascist police state? I'm going to be back with more in the last segment of False Flag News in this Wednesday edition. Scary guys or the FBI or the people that listen to this show and think that this is all conspiracy nonsense, I encourage all of you to know that I don't get any pleasure in having to report this news. This is a tragedy to watch what has happened to this country. If you really love this country, you'll see that what your bosses are doing will destroy your family as well. That your children will not have a future in a country where we emerge with Mexico and Canada and the dollar collapses. That if there is a war with Iran and Syria, there could be a thermonuclear exchange with Russia and China. That this policy of mass genocide and austerity and the destruction of this environment, folks, I don't talk about that enough. That what's happening to our water supply, to our air supply, to the way the rainforests are being cut down for soya crop and for cattle, to what is happening to the Earth's dwindling resources. When you watch what is happening to this planet, I hope some of you can break out a little bit and stop just listening to the orders of your bosses and see, you stand to lose as much as any of us do. And in the end, we're all in this together. It is so sad. I mean, you know, I want us to understand it, and I want us to understand this in the depths of our souls, but it is so tragic. I think, you know, a lot of us have cognitive dissonance. We don't want to face how bad things have gotten. But we need to step up. We need to have the courage to face how bad things have gotten, to deal with it, to fight it, and to prepare. Because these guys aren't going away anytime soon. A couple more articles on the economy. I'm going to rush through this. And I want to say I appreciate all the listeners out there. I appreciate that you pay attention. I appreciate that you love your country. And I hope you look some of this stuff up yourself, because you shouldn't trust anybody. You should look it up for yourself and make your own decisions. France in vigilance plea on falling dollar. This is from Financial Times of London. France on Monday led European concern over the rising euro in an apparent attempt to put pressure on the European Central Bank not to jeopardize eurozone growth prospects ahead of next year's French presidential election. This is in the face of the falling U.S. dollar, but the European Central Bank is going to raise another quarter point its interest rate to 3.5% next week. At least that is expected. See, when they begin diversifying the Chinese, their $1 trillion out of dollars, they look for better places to put their money. Well, 3.5% looks pretty decent right now on the euro. They want to back out of an American currency that's on its way down. And a London financial trader just told the markets, it's soon going to be the Amero. That we all better be preparing for the Amero. And we know they're building the I-35 corridor, and the Amero is a big part in building this Pan-American Union. One more article here. Tattered dollar could quickly lose further allure. This is from Financial Times. And I should thank Chris in Montreal. Chris in Montreal is a great researcher. Thank you, Chris, for sending me a lot of these articles. It says, Christmas shopping in New York is usually thought of as an expensive indulgence rather than a bargain hunter's dream. But this year, there are savings to be had if one is spending euros, sterling, or yen. With the dollar suddenly sliding against all its main currencies, shoppers in Europe and Asia are being told they can get their iPods, Nintendo Wiis, and Armani suits cheaply if they buy them in the U.S. But, of course, those things aren't made in the U.S. You don't see any iPods made here. You got to go to China to see where the iPods are made. Folks, I wanted to talk about what's happening with Russia. The fact that the United States is using the state of Georgia to join NATO and put pressure on Russia. I've got articles here about Gazprom and Sibneft, two of the biggest Russian oil and natural gas firms, merging together. But I'll leave you with this. Iranian leader Mahmoud Ahmadinejad predicts collapse of Israel, U.S., and U.K. Iranian president predicted the collapse of Israel, the U.S., and Britain attacking what he called a repressive behavior. He wrote, "The collapse and crumbling of the devilish rule has started. Far be it from me to agree," but then he wrote a letter today. He says, "The U.S. administration's illegal and immoral behavior is not even confined outside its borders. You are witnessing daily that under the pretext of the war on terror, civil liberties are being increasingly curtailed. We must fight these people. We must wake up. I thank you for your patriotism. I will be back tomorrow with another edition of False Flag News. Get out there, research the points, and fight these criminal elite while we still have a chance. Have a wonderful night."